Matthew chapter 4. Here we read about the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to look at some important truths here. It's interesting that Adam in his testimony said the devil is stronger than he thought. Well, I'm guaranteeing that every young person who made decision for the Lord in this camp out, they've already been tested by the devil. And I'm afraid some probably have already given in. And, you know, during the camp out, young people said, you know, I made this decision last year, lasted about 1 month. And that was the end of it. And, you know, any important decision made in life is going to be tested by the devil. And we need to be aware of that. Bible makes it pretty clear that that's exactly how it works. And so we want to try to make a message encouraging and enlightening to our young people about these things. You know, it's great. There's really nothing like the camp out. Most people in their adult, most Christians in their life will never experience anything like it. We had some measure of the Lord working in a special way. In some lives, it truly was a real refreshing breath of the Lord there. And, you know, coming to church and having a sermon on Sunday morning and then escaping and then coming back, even coming back Sunday night, you know, that isn't even even a fraction of what we need to really get in the presence of the Lord. I mean, it's so easy. You can come, you can endure a morning message, maybe not too much around here, but you know, you can endure and think about all sorts of other things and get out of here and never meet the Lord. But when you're around the Word of God and 3-4 hours a day and in that atmosphere, the Lord gets a chance. It's too bad that it takes about, for most of the young people, maybe it takes all the week, all the way to Friday to really start to get into the presence of the Lord. My wife's brother-in-law is a youth pastor, and he said that a camp out should always be 2 weeks long. And in his ministry, he had one chance to have a camp out for 2 weeks. And he said that second week, they met the Lord. And I never forget hearing about that second week. And in that second week, a host of young men got called to preach, and many of them, in fact, one of those young men that called to preach that week is now the pastor of that church there in Arizona, and it's amazing how important it is to take the time to get with God. And life is so busy, for most people it never happens. I can't believe that people can think that they're really meeting God when they got, you know, a 20-minute sermonette once in a while. That's why we don't have revival. But that's all that aside. Let's put things in perspective. Let's put things in perspective. Chapter 4, this is a really, bright deduction. Chapter 4 in Matthew is preceded by Matthew chapter 3, in case you didn't know that. And what happened in Matthew chapter 3, the Bible tells us, verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Jordan, from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. In verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Of course, here is the beginning of the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John chapter 1 tells us that God the Father revealed to John the Baptist that the Messiah would be revealed, who he was, at and through his baptism. And so the Lord Jesus enters his ministry in Matthew chapter 3, and then chapter 4 starts with the word then. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And we have a real picture here. The beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the sovereignty of God, immediately tested by the temptation of the devil. You know, temptation and the work of Satan is strategically planned. It's strategically planned. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. Principalities. You know, you ever heard of the principle? Okay. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of the world. It talks about a highly organized army of the devil. They got ranks and files, and they follow and they do what he says. It's highly organized. It's strategic. And you know what? It's strategically planned. And the Bible gives us a picture here that the temptation that the Lord Jesus Christ was strategically planned. And you know, the devil is strategic. I would have no doubts that depending on the significance of a decision and the significance of the ramifications would be correlated to the reality of the opposition of the devil in one way or the other, whether it's physical, spiritual, you name it, since yesterday. It's not an accident. And it's a strategy of the devil. Do you believe that? Do you live like that? Do you think like that? You know, most Christians think in a blob. Oh, whatever happens, happens. Never think about why it happens, what's behind it, that there's a devil. No, they just live by their passions. They live by their urges. They live what comes across their mind. No strategy in it. But the devil is strategic. Now, I call it strategically on purpose. I call it strategically on purpose. Now we have some temptations here of Christ. We have temptation. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. There's one temptation. Bread. Hunger. And there's a temptation. Be thou Son of God. Verse 6. Cast yourself down from this high point of the temple. And his angels will rescue you, and people say, hey, there he is, the Son of God. And they'll believe on you. You know, temptation to a shortcut to praise and acceptance and worship. And, of course, he shows them all the kingdoms of the world and says, I'll give you all these if you bow down and worship me. And you see, he dangles the glory of the world in front of him. He says, I'll give it to you. But you know, in reality, it wasn't about bread. and it was about praise. It was about the glory of the kingdoms of the world. You know what it was about? It was about the cross. That's what it was about. He's dangling a stone in front of him and say, hey, make this into bread, you're hungry. But the real issue was the cross. The cross. That's how the devil works. Isn't that so? Romans 5:12. Turn there. You know the verse. Many of you, but it's good to look at it. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. He didn't say, and I understand this, but I'm just emphasizing a point. He didn't say, whereby one devil sin entered into the world. It says, wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world. You see, the devil had a plan. He wanted to be the prince of this world. He wanted to be the spiritual father of the human race. But he didn't go to Adam and Eve and say, you know, I got a plan. I want to own this world. I want to be the ruler of this world. I want to be the God of this world, of this earth, of this created world. I want to be the God of this world, and I want to rule over humans. I want to be their God. I want to be their father of darkness. And so, I want you to submit your life to me. No, he didn't do that. He disguised it, didn't he? He disguised it. He said he knew if he get Adam to sin, he got everything he wanted. So, figuratively, we would say he dangled a little apple in front of him. Dangled a little apple. Said, hey, take this little apple. You'll like it. But it wasn't about an apple. I mean, obviously it wasn't an apple. But what was it about? It was about their souls. Is about this world, being the God of this world. You see, Satan is smart. Satan is strategic. And he knows that people don't think. He knows people don't think strategically. He knows he can dangle a little apple in front of someone and make them think it's about the apple. And obviously, you know, I'm just figuratively speaking. And they'll grab for it. Oh, they're going to find some little thing the devil's going to put there in front of somebody, and they're going to get all bent out of shape about that little thing. Oh, it's nothing about the little thing at all. It's about their soul. Bible illustrates it another way. In Proverbs, it talks about the adulterous, estranged woman going after the young man. And the young man thinks it's pleasure. But the scripture says, he knoweth not it is for his life. The devil says, I'm going to give you a little bit, a few moments of pleasure. That's the lie. That's the strategy. That's the come on. He didn't advertise the real thing. What was it? The life. You know, young people, the issue is this. Really, these decisions aren't about really about that decision you made. They're important decisions. I mean, tell you what, coming under authority, that's a big decision. There's not many people that get it and successful in it. Surrendering to God with your life. All these important decisions. Meeting with them every day. Guess to make a whole list. But you know, it's not really that. You know what it really is? It's your life. Because that decision is an opportunity that God has given you to succeed for God. And devil's going to wave something in front of you. One little apple. Oh, I don't know what it is. Something insignificant, probably. And it's going to be tested. And he's not going to say it's for your life. No. He's not going to say that. He's going to say, you got your rights. He's going to say, hey, this is something that you want. Right now! And take all the focus off what it's really all about. Because the real issue is your life. Your life. You know, God in His mercy, He speaks to our hearts. He gives us the opportunity to grab a hold of issues of life. And we're just human. All we can do many times is make a first step. A lot of people really can't take the big steps, which need to be made. But I rejoice in the little steps. Because little steps lead to other steps. And they lead to a life. But the devil knows, even that little step, if he can stop it now, he might get the life. So let's have some recognize that we need a strategic victory. We need a strategic victory. Strategic victory involves planning ahead. Yep, plan for it. Plan for Satan's subtle, deceptive, sly, disguised temptations. Sometimes they're little, sometimes they're big. Plan for it. There's a lot of times you can plan for it. You can plan for it right after a camp out and made decision. You can plan for it when God has planned a great victory in your life. And he's going to do everything he can to keep you from coming to that place of victory. The devil's strategic. We have to plan a strategic opposer named the devil. Secondly, we have to see the temptation as not a little sin, but for our life. It's not about, young person, it's not I just made a mistake. I made a decision to come under authority, but well, I got tested. Well, you aren't going to say that because you aren't going to think about being tested. You know what? Someone didn't look at me right. And I don't like that. And you know, I don't care what decision I made, I don't like it. You know what? It's not one little thing. It's about your life. Strategic victory. The victory is not in trying. The victory is not in trying. You can't do it. I can't do it. And sometimes it's a matter of semantics. I understand that. But it's a big problem when we say, I'm going to try to do this. Because in our strength, we can't do anything. Nonetheless, fight the devil and get victory over sin. There must be a surrender. There must be a breaking of self-confidence, confidence in ourselves, and there must be a sense of total dependence in faith on the victory in Jesus Christ. Not maybe, not hope so, but yes, sir. Dependence. Who shall deliver me from the body of this sin? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I would say that every day, if you're thinking strategically, you need to realize in a battle. And if you made a decision, you went against the forces of evil. And the forces of evil don't give up easily. There are going to be some tricks played, some temptations, some arrows shot. And they're going to be right at the weak spot. It's going to be tried. And the victory isn't going to be just a victory over that little sin. It's going to be the beginning of a victory of success of the rest of your life. And that's what it's all about. a strategic battle that we are in for our souls. You know, some didn't make any decisions. Some made secret decisions. Most secret decisions, most decisions made in secret are going to die in secret. You're going to die quickly. And you know the devil's strategic about that too. He knows what he's doing. A person can resist God under that atmosphere. They certainly can make it through a Sunday morning, Sunday night successfully and resist. If that's you, I'd be afraid about what spiritually is going on in my soul. Because it's all about a strategic battle that's taking place. And we need to think strategically. Amen? And we need to act strategically. Because we do have a victor, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, even as we close the service tonight, I'd like you young people to say, you know what? I made a decision. But that decision, the devil's going to do everything he can to stop it from being action. And every day that you think strategically and realize I'm not going to succumb to that little thing because there's a bigger picture. I'm not going to succumb to that little thing because there is a bigger picture. I trust that you will tonight make that decision. Now, I wonder what's going to happen for some of you tomorrow. Where are you going to go? Who are you going to be around? What opportunity are you going to have? And in that opportunity, it seems like, oh, well, forget it. It's not that. It's just this little thing. It really isn't. It's the test. And so you need to get up, make sure you get up in time tomorrow morning to have a real meeting with God. And you get it going on the right foot. And you need to pray specifically for power, for discernment, for victory, realizing that it's a battle for your soul. That's my challenge. That's something that it's beyond thinking about it. It's something that must be acted upon. And as simple as it is, that's what you must do. As simple as this challenge is, and if you don't do that, then your decision never was anything other than saying, well, I go to this camp out and I'm supposed to make a decision. So, who's going to win? It's for your life. On the other hand, some of God's people should pray for our young people. Pray for their strengthening. pray for the victory. Pray for them. We all need to pray one for one another. On the other hand, you might be here and you are an adult, and it's been a long time since you've been thinking about the fact that we're in a strategic battle. And you've lost sight of the big picture. You lost sight of the big picture. Wyatt had a great message on, and I love it when young people preach. I always notice that when young people preach, their brothers and sisters really pay attention. Because that's their hero preaching. You know, I love it. And, but, you know what? He talked about a test in his life. It appeared as is about playing on a soccer team. But it wasn't about playing on a soccer team. It was about his future. It was about God's call to preach in his life. It was about a young man going to be on fire for God. That's what it was about. That was the big picture. The devil's strategic. We have to be strategic too. And the Lord will allow the devil to do those things to confirm our faith and to go forward by faith. Let's plan on a strategic victory. The decision you made is not just that. It's far more than that. Don't think that this is the last decision you need to make for till next camp out. If you really made that decision, let me tell you what. There's another decision to go forward in the near future. And it might have been this morning. And you might have went to the camp out and said, oh, I made a decision. I'm going to get tested for tonight and I don't have to make any more decisions. Guess what? I think you just lost. There's an opportunity to go forward this morning. Life is a strategic battleground. It's about success. It's about failure. But victory is about defeat. It's about dangling an apple, a little thing, for something real big in the background. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight. In your mercy, it's all there. It's all there right in the Word of God. It's all laid out for us to see what it's all about, what the big picture is. You know, Adam and Eve didn't see the big picture. And we're their descendants, physically and spiritually. And we have their same weaknesses. Lord, I pray that young people be encouraged tonight to see bigger than what they think. And that you'll give them a grip on the fact that, God, you have a plan for their life. And this little decision was for the purpose to getting them to make other decisions and to go forward. And the devil wants to stop them in their tracks. Lord, help them to see the picture with their own eyes, to learn this lesson, and be sober and vigilant, for the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Help them make sober, conscious decisions, to trust you, to lean upon you, to act like people that are in a battle, going to your word, being in prayer, being careful and cautious in life because there's a tempter out there. So, Lord, help them to make sober decisions about these important decisions in their lives. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I gave some recommendations about how you can have victory and stay on the victory side. And you say, you know, Pastor, that's exactly what I need to do. I am going to plan on meeting with God tomorrow and every day. I'm going to be planning being in my Bible. I'm going to plan on looking at life as the devil is going to try to get me off the track. I realize that the devil may put a person in my life. I realize the devil may put me in a situation where I'm tempted to go back to my old ways. And I realize the devil's going to try to defeat me before the victory is secured. And say, Pastor, God spoke in my heart. This has been serious to me, and I'm going to respond in a serious manner. I am going to look to God in this battle for my life and my soul and about these important decisions that I've made. You say, Pastor, pray for me. God has spoken my heart, and I am going to consciously respond seriously to these truths. Just lift up your hand wherever it might be. Okay? Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Okay? Amen. Lord, thank you for your grace. And Lord, thank you that you can give us wisdom. And thank you, Lord, for that humble spirit that shows the desire to be wise in a very dark world. Give grace, Lord, and strength. And Lord, the battle is bigger than any one of these young people. Thank you that, Lord, you said you'd never tempt them above that which they are able. So there's no fear. As they trust you, they will have the victory. And so, Lord, we give them to thee, and I pray that what you started would continue in a great and wonderful way. We pray in Jesus' name.